Hey, good morning, Durango and Fort Lewis. Welcome to the Four Corners Arts Forum and KDUR Community Radio, broadcasting from beautiful Fort Lewis College campus. And thank you for joining us this morning. We are always delighted to be able to introduce to you some of our very talented and passionate and innovative people who live in our community. And today we've got one such person that I'd love to share with you. We've talked with her a little bit about stuff, but she has been all over the map, literally. Especially in the United States, and doing all sorts of fun things. We welcome Leanne Goebel, an arts journalist here in town and a freelance writer. You'll see her name in the Herald and upcoming in a lot of different ways, I'm sure. She's a very talented writer. And good morning, Leanne.
Good morning, Gigi. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to talk with you. I just love hearing what you're doing and what you're involved in. And I know you've been the recipient of a major writer's grant. Let's start with that. Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm completely and totally honored to have received this award. The Andy Warhol Foundation and Creative Capital in New York partnered to do a three-year pilot program offering arts writers grants. And basically, with the state of arts journalism, which is in upheaval at the moment because of lower ad rates for newspapers, not as many subscribers. I mean, newspapers are just plummeting all over the country, and critics around the country are being let go. I mean, the first people to go, as you know, in schools and any time of funding is usually the arts. And so visual art critics were the first to go, and now we're seeing movie critics, book reviewers are all disappearing from publication. And so the two foundations got together, and so we want to encourage writers and who are writing about contemporary art and who are doing it in a way that is passionate. And they've offered this three-year pilot program. And I applied the first year, and of course, I didn't even make it through the first round. So, you know, hey, that's good. And then this last year I applied, and basically my proposal was to go out into the world of contemporary art and to bring that back to Durango and to be able to write about what's happening in the art world, because the art world is global. I mean, it's a world of things happening in not only New York and LA and San Francisco, and regionally most people think of Santa Fe, but Beijing and London and Venice and all these other places where art is really, really happening and being created and being done in a way that most of us around here don't have an awareness of and don't have access to, because we don't really get to read the magazines very much. We don't have access to the kind of things that are out there. So,
well, there's so much information and so many things to be interested in anymore. And so if you're not seeking that particular focus or genre of information online, typically you're not going to find any information. So was that your mission as part of the grant recipient? Is it sort of the heart and soul of it is to bring contemporary art to the public? Is that what it is?
It is. It's to bring contemporary art in the broader world back to Durango and to be able to write about not only, you know, a famous Chinese artist, say Cai Shuo Jiang, who just did the Beijing Olympics and the fireworks display there, but who is an amazing contemporary artist, to be able to write about him and also to be able to write conversely about our local artists and have that dichotomy and comparison. So when you're talking about, you know, an abstract expressionist painter or a minimalist sculptor, and then you're referencing someone else's work in a review, many people may not know who we're talking about because, frankly, we all don't have an education in art history. So this way, my goal was to be able to bring both of those things together and play them off of each other. And so I was awarded the grant to do that.
That is so awesome to have someone local. Now, is this a national grant where we had national applicants from all over? What sort of competition were you up against?
Stiff. There were over 200 applicants. Qualified applicants. 45 made it through the first cut. And then they awarded 16 grants total. But in my category, which is short form writing, there were three award winners.
What was the difference this year versus last year? Why do you think you got it? Was it because of your persistence in applying again?
Well, obviously, I think that's definitely the case. But primarily, they offered a second category this year that they didn't offer last year. Last year, their category was articles, and they do a category for books and a category for articles. But most of those were longer form articles for major art magazines, Art Forum, Art in America, Art News, things like that. This year, they offered a short form category for people like me who write for newspapers. And I think having that opportunity to apply in a category that was really, really focused on what I do made all the difference.
And your forum for presenting your information is the Durango Herald?
It's the Durango Herald, and I also have a blog that I keep up, leannegoble.blogspot.com. And I do publish things on the blog that are original that are not necessarily published in the Herald. The editors at the Herald are, there's a little bit of an issue about, they want a lot of local coverage, right. And we're struggling with, then, you know, how far away do they want to have coverage? They've ran some of the pieces from New York, but sometimes it's like, we've had too many of those. Now we want to just focus locally. So, you know, we're working these issues out and trying to make it possible for them to understand what I'm trying to do. And I think what a lot of people have responded and said they really enjoy reading about.
Right. And as a somewhat isolated mountain community, we really do need that information from the outside, from someone local, because you have the unique perspective of making it pertinent to those of us who live here.
And trying to make it accessible. I mean, I don't write in a way that, say, someone who writes for Art Forum, which is a very academic, you know, highly intellectual publication, I keep this in a way that people can understand. I mean, my goal is to make it so everybody can understand it.
And somewhat entertaining, right? I mean, it
oh, absolutely.
Has to be, what's the fun of it and the learning, and
I hope it's entertaining. That's my goal anyways. I try to be entertaining and make it interesting and make people say, oh, I get that now. Mm-hmm. I don't feel quite as intimidated by art. I mean, art can be very intimidating. We all know that. And my goal is to make it less intimidating and to make it accessible to people. And I want them to feel that, oh, I didn't learn about that in school, so I have no idea, and I don't understand that.
When can we read your articles in the Herald?
Well, the arts section is published on Tuesdays and Fridays, and so it just depends upon the schedule and the assignments and when those come out. But it's usually a Tuesday or a Friday in the Herald. You'll be able to see those stories.
And those, of course, will be a mix between your global outreach and then also local. But
that's correct.
The blog would be primarily the global?
The blog has, I post everything on the blog, but I have the original works, the global works that perhaps haven't been covered. I wrote about the Armory Show and the Pulse Art Fair when I was in New York. And those pieces are both on the blog and with photos and links, you know, so you have the hyperlinks that you can go. And if you're really interested in Sasha Kizander or one of these major contemporary artists, you can click on a link and find out more about them, which I think is a great tool that we don't have for the in the newspaper. You know, we can't give you their background and their bio and say this is who they are and this is what they're trying to do.
And I want to talk about your travels in just a moment, but is it because of the interactiveness of the web that newspapers, as you had said initially, why we're losing the art critics, why we're losing the sections, why papers are having to cut down? Is that what's causing this?
Primarily, I mean, everything that I've been reading and all of the media consultants and a lot of people will tell you that obviously, yes, the internet has made a huge difference in that. When people can get access to 25 different newspapers, it makes it much more difficult for them to want to subscribe to their local paper. I think we're very lucky in Durango because while I know there are critics of our local newspaper, but for the most part, you know, they cover the local news and they provide a very valuable service of information that, being in Durango, we don't have a local television station. So this is oftentimes between radio and newspaper, the only access we have to news and coverage of our local events. And as you mentioned, world events and national events. So I think we're very lucky to have a newspaper that continues to support an arts and entertainment editor. They cover all sorts of music, theater, broad coverage. And I think we all need to support that, encourage that. So, but it is because of the internet, you know, because we can access everything. The content, however, comes from journalists. And I think that we're going to see a lot of things changing and happening in the next few years. And I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go. It does make it challenging as a journalist and especially as a freelancer to figure out where the market is. And you know, while the internet is great, how do you make money at it? New York right. Times can't make money at it.
That's right. And how to find your niche within that sort of cyber world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very precarious and very open. And of course, I believe there's very serious discussions in the journalism world right now about credibility.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing the web does not give us. I mean,
absolutely.
I could go on and pretend that I'd been somewhere and write about it and people would take it as gospel because it's in the written word.
That's true.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. One of my travels took me to Austin and San Antonio, Texas. And one of the reasons I went to Austin, Texas is because Katie Siegel, who is an amazing arts journalist, writes for Arts Forum and just wrote the major book on Jeff Koons and all of these things. She sat on the panel who awarded me the grant, and I wanted an opportunity to meet her. And so I went to Austin to visit and see the art there, but I also went to go hear her speak. And she was speaking at UT Austin to the MFA students, and they have a great program where they offer that. And Katie was warm and, just the most wonderful person that I have met and very welcoming to me. But she was really interesting because during her lecture, she talked just about this issue. And her talk was a lot about the branding, not only of artists in the contemporary art world, I mean, which Andy Warhol obviously started.
Yeah.
But people like Takashi Murakami have taken to new heights, I have to say. But she mentioned that bloggers, you know, and there's always these major discussions about bloggers versus critics, you know, and the critics who have all the experience and the bloggers. And I was moved or touched because she mentioned me from the stage, and she said that she had really enjoyed my blog because she felt it was very professionally done. And then later when we talked afterwards, she mentioned that, you know, the blog is professional. You don't talk about, you know, what you had for breakfast. I don't talk about my kids. I don't talk about my husband. I mean, that's not the place for it. For me, the blog is about writing about art and what I'm passionate about. And so maintaining my credentials and credibility there. And I think that's what we're going to start to see happen in the blog world, in the internet world, is we want to know that we're getting correct and accurate information. And you know, during this political season, you know, there's so much false information out there.
That's right. And the lack of boundaries in cyberspace, I think, is kind of along the lines of what we're discussing
right.
here. And so it's wonderful to hear that there is some movement, some pressure to create some boundaries that can hold some standards, hold some credibility factors in line so that people aren't just reading this stuff and accepting it as truth.
Right.
Nobody's done any research. Nobody knows what they're talking about.
Many blogs are now affiliated with groups and organizations, and you're finding things like there's a arts journal, a great site on the web that has multiple bloggers affiliated with them, and they're affiliated with the National Arts Journalism Program, which unfortunately went defunct at Columbia University. But they've maintained, and they're trying to maintain a network of us arts journalists who are affiliated with them. But there's places like that. Art Review, Art Forum has a great blog. Mm-hmm. And so those major publications are also doing that. And so there's ways to have that credibility.
So let's talk a little bit about your travels. Now, were your travels to the Armory in New York and the different places you've been going, was that part of your grant? Did the money support that? How does that work?
Yes. Basically, the money that I received is to go towards travel, and it pays for me to travel. And in my travels, of course, I got very excited when I was awarded the grant. I think I found out about it in February, and you know, in March, I was on a plane to New York, so...
I didn't waste any time.
But I did that because the Armory and Pulse Art Fairs were going on the last weekend of March in New York, and the Whitney Biennial was opening, which are all major and important art events.
What tell us about those. I mean, for those of us that have never, didn't even know they existed, what are they?
Well, the art fair circuit is, and it is a circuit, and it's more like a circus as well, but there are major art fairs around the world. Basel in Switzerland is probably the number one art fair. Then probably comes the Armory Show. And the Armory Show, of course, it was founded to go back to the original Armory Show that was done in the 1900s with the major impressionist artists and the modern artists that came out, and this new movement in art, and you had, you know, all these great people who were there, and this shockingly new art that the world had never seen. And the Armory Show was started multiple years ago in a hotel. Basically, a bunch of New York dealers got together and said, "We need to have an art fair." And so they went to a hotel, and many of the artists did their installations in the hotel rooms. And from there, it has grown into this huge venue. And it's on one of the piers, if you're familiar at all with New York, a huge pier. And they've now taken over a second pier for this next year. And they're going to have the Armory and the Armory Modern. But hundreds of galleries from all over the world, they have to apply to be selected and submit their work. And it's a process where you go and you can basically see galleries from all over the world, artists from all over the world who are highly collectible, emerging and very successful contemporary artists. So
that must have been really neat for you. I mean, to get out and to see that kind of an expansive display of art. I know you are very familiar with local art, and you mm-hmm. go to the galleries. You even conduct a gallery walking tour through continuing education here at Fort Lewis.
Yes, and we'll have to mention those dates later.
We will mention those dates for people who want to meet Leanne in person and go with her. You can go from gallery to gallery in Durango and not only learn about what arts are being displayed in those galleries, but something about the artists, and she can help give you an idea of how to be better informed about what you're looking at when you look at some of these artists, and maybe what good art is in her opinion, and to help you guide you so that when you bring guests or go with friends, you might actually have a more educated idea of what it is that you're looking at and be able to discuss that more intelligently. But we'll talk about those dates later. But here you are in New York. You've got all the artists in the galleries. Sounds like a really interesting place to go to see what's coming up now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely the place where the collectors are there. They're buying art. They sell millions and millions of dollars of art at these art fairs. And it's amazing to be able to go and actually see a Gerhard Richter painting, you know, walking down and going, "Oh my gosh, that's a Gerhard Richter. That's, oh wow, that's a Takashi Murakami. That's, you know, some of these very famous artists that you may only see in magazines." And so to be able to walk around to these hundreds, it's overwhelming, frankly. I mean, it's an exhausting process. It's overstimulated through that. I did both the Armory and Pulse art fairs and five different museums on my trip to New York. I was there for a week. And
Pulse and Armory happen at the same time? Then
there are nine art fairs that happen that same weekend. I did two of them. And I can't imagine anybody who actually does all nine. And you do see crossover. There's a lot of repetitive artists. You'll see the same artists in different shows because they're rep by different galleries. But these are the major galleries in the country, in New York, and around the world that bring their best work and their best artists. But, you know, the most fun and interesting thing was, I believe it was at the Pulse Art Fair, there was a gallery from the Netherlands, and coming from where we come from and knowing people like Jenny Gummersall, who's a friend of mine who photographs, you know, cowboys in the West and does really great quirky things. I walked around this corner to this gallery in the Netherlands, and here are these giant sea print photographs, which are these huge prints photographs, you know, 6 feet by 5 feet of cowboy boots. And it was the most surreal experience.
From the Netherlands.
And, you know, here around, surrounded by all this amazing contemporary Japanese, uh-huh. Chinese, you know, yeah. contemporary art that's totally off the wall. And yeah. Here are these cowboy boots.
See, Durango is more hip than we are given credit
for. So all those cowboy photographers, yeah. you need to contact the galleries in the Netherlands. You're hip and happening there.
Yeah, they will buy your art.
They will.
Well, how exciting for you, Leanne. And did you... Has this been like a goal of yours or a pathway that you have sought to become more and more prominent in the arts journalist world? Or how did you set out to have this happen, or has it kind of evolved for you?
I mean, I'd like to say that I did set out to have this happen, but in some ways, yes, I did. And in some ways, it just happened.
It seems like you lean towards the journalistic and towards art. And I mean, there's so many different directions you can go when you're a writer and you're a gifted
right.
writer. You could go so many different directions. Why art?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was in New York, I did visit with the foundation who gave me the grant. And I spoke to the director of the Andy Warhol Foundation. And she asked me this exact question. And I told her, I said, you know, it's something that was meant to be, but sort of happened happenstance. I started out as an art major and studied art and art history and switched over. And I have my degree in English. I have a great liberal arts degree, a well-rounded education. And coming from Colorado and graduating from school in Texas, it was not something that I was aware of, to be frank with you, when I was a college graduate, that you could write about art. And so it took a full circle for me to come together and coming to this part of the country and realizing that I could write about art. And I've been doing it now for 4 years as pretty much my sole focus. And when I realized that I could marry these two things, these are my two passions. And I often think, I wonder if I'd have figured this out earlier, if it had worked out, if my life would have been different. But then I think that probably it wouldn't, because I needed the life experience that I have to be able to view art and see art and talk about art in the way that I do. And that's really important to me. So yes, at some point when it became apparent that writing about art was a viable career and there was this whole world out there that could be accessed, yes, it's my goal to be able to do that. And doing it from this part of the country, it's 10 times harder, because the center of the art journalism world is New York and London and Berlin. And being here, you have to work 10 times as hard. So the grant has been a great opportunity for me to be able to travel, because frankly, when you're a stringer or a freelancer, a lot of those costs are not covered by the newspaper. I mean, the newspaper would never cover, right. You know, I've gone and written before this grant. I've gone to Taos and I've gone to Santa Fe and I've gone to Denver and written about things, but those are my own costs. And, you know, frankly, the rates that you get paid don't even cover for your travel expenses.
Journalism's known for that. It's one of those tough professions, and yet it sounds like it's opening up to you, Leanne. And you've, like you said, you've had some life experience. I know you have a family of kids you're raising.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're able to integrate everything that you are into what you're doing right now. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Leanne Goble. She's a freelance arts journalist who lives in Pagosa Springs, and we have the benefit of her writings in the Durango Herald. She brings information about artists and contemporary art. She's a recipient of a Andy Warhol grant for arts journalists, and she's traveling and bringing all that information to our community, so we're blessed to have you here.
Thanks.
So exciting stuff for you, and probably just how do you see what's coming for you? You're going to continue on doing your best and see where it takes you.
Right. The grant funds are available to me through September of 2009, so I have about another year left. I'm looking now at, you know, specific places that I'd like to go and things that I'd want to do, and trying to fit them into the schedule. The Chicago Art Institute is opening their new wing next spring, so I think that's probably a good time to go to Chicago, because it will be great to see their new wing of their museum and things that are happening there in Chicago. And next year is the Venice Biennale, which is a huge, huge art event. I mean, Venice Biennale is probably the original biennial. Every museum now seems to do a biennial. Every community does a biennial. Everybody has a biennial, which means it's an art show that happens every 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But the Venice Biennale has been going on for, gosh, I don't know how long, 40, 50 years, I think, and maybe even longer. It's people from all over the world go, and you know, every country selects an artist to represent them. One artist represents their country. And so to be chosen as an artist to represent your country is a huge honor. And so, or a group of artists. So it'll be great to be able to go. And that is obviously on my high list of places to visit is the Venice Biennale.
Now, when you go to the art shows, obviously you're going to go around, you're going to look at the art and so forth. Are you also able to make connections while you're there and set up interviews with different galleries or artists?
Ideally, yes, that's what happens. And I'm working on an article right now that came about from a visit to the site biennial and speaking with the curator Lance Fung and several of the artists who participated in that. And so, yes, I mean, meeting people, I get to network with other journalists, I get to, you know, meet gallery direct dealers and directors and artists and have that opportunity to maybe find out a little bit more about who they are and what they're about and bring that back.
As you're doing that, what would you tell our listeners about the contemporary art world? How is it changing, or what might be sort of the main challenges that it's facing in this day and age, if any?
Well, I think the contemporary art world is, right now, I think there's a huge shift in focus on China. I just read last night that Pace Wildenstein, which is a major gallery in New York, just opened, prior to the opening of the Olympics on Friday, their gallery in Beijing, in a district called the 798 district in Beijing, which is where a lot of the development has happened for the Olympics. And the director of the gallery said that there are actually more visitors to 798 in Beijing than they get to Chelsea in New York. And Chelsea, if you've been to New York, the Chelsea Gallery District, there's more than 300 galleries in Chelsea alone. So, you know, compare that to Santa Fe, which has 200 and something galleries.
Is that because Beijing, because China has such a massive population in itself, or is it because people are actually visiting from around the world to Beijing now?
I think that it's the visitors coming to Beijing. I also think because of the massive population, you have Chinese artists. It's only been in the last probably 10 years that contemporary art has, Chinese artists have been allowed to make contemporary art in their country. Most before that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, they had to leave the country in order to make art. So now those artists are able to make art in their own country, and they're phenomenal artists. And so you're seeing the globalization of the art world, in the contemporary art world, in the same way we're seeing the globalization of everything in this country, in our world.
Yeah.
Everything is globalized. And we're seeing that in the contemporary art world. And that's the challenge. I think we can become very provincial in our thinking, and thinking that art is just the painting of the beautiful mountains and mm-hmm. a pretty picture and something that makes us all feel warm and fuzzy. And in fact, art in the contemporary world is very cerebral. It makes you think. It's almost to the point, can be too cerebral, too temporal. There's a lot of different movements still going on, and there's a lot of people who, you know, are working with recycled goods, who are about making art that's not about making art. It's sort of challenging in a lot of ways. But artists, I think, are some of the most intelligent and challenging people. I mean, they're the people who are challenge status quo. They're the people who think outside the box. They're the people who push us. And so art pushes us to open our minds a little bit and to look at things in a different way. It may not be the kind of art you want to live with, but that's the kind of art that can make a difference in the world.
And contemporary art, as opposed to traditional art, Michelangelo et al.,
right.
Those are, that kind of art is, I have this sense of eternal. And it's going to be around. You look at it 50 years ago, you look at it 1,000 years ago, it's still something you want in your home and you want to look at. It's still something that moves you. Is contemporary art different in that regard, in that it may be a statement more of the present moment, and the long-lasting effects of it lasting forever is not necessarily the goal?
Some of it, yes, I think that is correct. Some contemporary art, it's very much about being temporary. The other thing that you have is multimedia art. I mean, some of the things that you see being made now are video, internet, you know, multimedia works that are done, movie sound, installations. It's not just a painting hanging on a wall, which may last forever, but it's a painting accompanied by sound, accompanied by a three-dimensional piece.
Really? I have not seen that. Is that some of the stuff you're seeing in the art fairs?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So people are bringing in little mini speakers, and you've got the of course, the mini discs that have all sorts of information. Tell us about that.
Well, you'll have exhibits where it's all a room filled just with sound, speakers and sound, and things that you can sit on or walk on or lay on, in fact, and feel the vibrations of the sound. And that may or may not be accompanied by a huge flat panel screen that's flashing color or imagery or whatever. Or you may have two computer screens, you know, computers flashing files and art and things like that happening. So there's a lot of, I mean, it's a very intriguing process.
Technology is impacting art just as it
Absolutely.
Has. And of course, we're all aware of digital photography and digital art, and also graphic artists, which has to do with more with doing things on the computer. But I wasn't aware that that was actually bleeding into the so-called real art world.
Oh, yeah. Much of the Whitney Biennial and in the major contemporary exhibits will have that sort of a contemporary installation exhibit with a multimedia avenue to it.
So as you can tell by listening to Leanne and I discuss, there's a lot to know about art. She is going to be conducting a couple of art gallery walking tours in Durango through continuing education. They will be on September 20th and October 18th. So if you'd like to meet Leanne, unfortunately our time is up, and so we're going to sign up. Do call 247-7385 if you want more information about Leanne's class. And thank you for joining us this morning. And Leanne, what a pleasure. Always a pleasure to hear where you are, what you're doing, how you're thinking. It's very interesting constantly. We never have enough time to hear all the different aspects of what you're doing. Thank you for joining.
Thank you very much, Gigi.
You're welcome. And do call and do have a beautiful Monday. We thank you for joining us and take care now. Bye-bye.